Now, I'm kind of making a big deal out of this for the next few weeks because I'm trying to help us build on a conversation that I really believe God has landed on for this year. And it's going to require us to do something a little risky today, okay? At least I'll say it's risky. I don't know if you will. I believe it's going to require each of us to do something that, at least for the first part of this conversation, seems impossible. If you want to talk about a mission that's impossible, I would bet most of us would probably include, a conversation about seeing things the same way that God sees things. But I think we have some potential to actually do that. I mean, can you imagine before you made your New Year's resolutions? Okay, let's just pause right there. I won't make you raise your hand because we're a small group in the early service. But if you just inside your little mind and heart, if you made some New Year resolutions, you can raise your, emotional or mental hand there, okay? And so if you made some of those, what brought you to making those? What perspective? Was it your own perspective? And you'll see some of this Q&A and some of these conversations in the Bible app if you're using that. I always put a little poll in there and some questions to engage our thoughts as we engage in these spiritual conversations and scriptural conversations. But where did the goal come from? Where did the new idea, where did the new perspective come from for any kind of resolution? Was it because it's your idea, your thoughts? You want to be better. You want to do something, good or even great. Was it somebody else's idea? Was it the world's perspective that where you got this New Year's drive, thought, idea about your own life or about your family or about your community or even about the church? Where did it come from? I would venture that most of us, any kind of New Year's resolutions or any kind of throughout the year changes in our perspectives, lots of times comes from our own everyday life struggle. And if it's not from our own everyday life struggle, it's encountering others in our world that have maybe either some similar ideas or thoughts, or in relationship, we struggle through some things and we go, okay, we need to do this differently. We need to do that differently. So can I say that we're usually reactionary? That the world kind of impresses upon us some things and we react. Now, again, whether that's to lose a few pounds because it seems like everybody needs to do that, or at least that's based on commercials, or read more books, or find new friends. No offense to the friends that are sitting by you, but I don't know what the goals or dreams that you have been given this year already are, new or old, and maybe we need to stop. And I recognize we're already in day three. Is this day three? Okay. Third day of 2016. But instead of saying, let's go get it, let's go reach out, let's push harder, let's don't quit now. All those, can I say a different kind of word just real quick? And the word is stop. Stop. Before you really encounter a year-long journey, or a month-long, ever how long you typically do these resolution things, before you really push forward towards some kind of goal, idea, new mark, new thought, new idea, new dream, new perspective, new body, whatever it is that you're shooting for, can we stop for just a second and stop trying specifically to accomplish things without God's perspective? It is so easy for us as just everyday human beings to want to accomplish some things and do some things, and we have even dreams about some things and some goals about some things, and it's so easy to do it without God's perspective. Now, to get God's perspective is the rest of this conversation. How do we do that? What can we do to really gather God's perspective? Now, I'm going to assume some things, and that's also a dangerous thing to do. You know that. I won't say the same, but you get the idea. Assuming is a dangerous thing to do sometimes. And it really is, because But you're here on a Sunday morning. You're at the early service, so that means you want to be here, okay, which is kudos to you a little bit, okay? That means that this spiritual conversation and scriptures that we're going to encounter today, Bible app or in print or ever how you're doing that, and you're here to engage it with in others, whether you're in a relationship with people in this room or not. You're here to participate, and I'm assuming that means some things. I'm assuming that means you want God's perspective. Okay, is that a safe assumption? I'm going to assume that again upon you, that you want God's perspective. I'm going to assume something else. You need God's perspective. Is that an okay thing to say for you? Can I assume that on you, that you need God and you need God's perspective? I'm not saying you don't have any of his perspective. I'm saying that on a regular basis, you need it. Okay? Can I also assume that there are times that your perspective and God's perspective sometimes, how do we say this, may not be the same? Now, they may not clash completely, but at least you're challenged by God's perspective. And I'm going to also assume that because you're here on a Sunday morning early service, just a few of us here, that if you knew God's perspective, it would change you. Now, again, I'm not saying it would change everything about you, but it would definitely have an impact on you. Can we assume that one at least? So that's a lot of assumptions to start off a sermon with. But I think they're safe ones if you choose to participate on that level. So I want to stop doing some things without God's perspective, or at least challenge us to do that. But then I'm going to challenge you to start something. Start trying to accomplish what God's perspective really shows you. So really start. Stop doing things without his perspective, but start doing things to accomplish what God's perspective is showing you. Now, this requires something instantly, right? It requires God's perspective. It requires you understanding it, seeing it, knowing it. Obviously, it requires you being willing to do it once you do see it. So there's some more assumptions built in there, but I want to have a quick conversation about how there's some easy ways to get his perspective, and then there's a harder way. And I think most of us choose the easier ways. We do. And by the way, they're good ways. He made them easy for you and I because he knows us, that sometimes we need it easy. But if we limit his perspective only to the easy ones, and forget the tough one, at least there's one that's really hard. There's one that's a little hard. And there's two that we would say are understandable. So the first one is what? This is an easy one. He never directs us to any of his perspectives that doesn't match up with his word, right? So the Bible, the scriptures that we just honored for a conversation about Bible app and it going everywhere with this. I recognize there are some people that say we need the print version and that's more important than the digital version. We can go there. I'm going to say I disagree. It's mostly because I think his word is bigger than paper. I think it's bigger than digital, you know, I don't know what you call those little things, pixels or whatever it is. I think his word is bigger than all of that. I think his word is beyond time, beyond the concepts of our concepts of time. I think it gives true perspective of who God is, what he's doing, and what he asked for us. Even this morning, I put out there on my social media that if we really want God's perspective, we need to check out Hebrews chapter 10, where it discusses about the necessity of us gathering together to not forsake the idea. It is very popular, especially in young adult worlds these days, busy family worlds, worlds filled with club soccer and worlds filled with constant entertainment, to neglect the connectivity, the time together, and the impact of what God's word calls the church. And so that's a little bit of God's perspective that I'm throwing out there to you from his word. The details of his word are interesting enough. There's a lot of debate in our world about some of his word, if it applies to today, if that was just an application of the past. Of course, there's this imagery out there about God's word, you know, about it being, you know, out of context in some ways or form. But I would say holistically, if you want to zoom out a little bit to your life or the world, you need his word. And what I'm going to ask us to do to get his perspective, because we can't physically be there. We can't physically be where he's at right now, unless you count him as everywhere. And I understand that. But there is the idea that he is, you know, in heaven, in the kingdom, seeing everything all at the same time. So we can't do that. We don't have that ability yet. So to gain his perspective, I'm going to ask you to continue to zoom out. The first way to zoom out is to get some of his word in you, in your mind, in your thoughts, and allow it to churn. Okay, we're going to work on some of that this year. But this is one of the ways to get perspective. Another one that I think is an easy one, that I think all of us would claim is easy, is his voice. Now, again, if you're using the Bible app, I gave these to you in a notes section that you can add notes to it. You can save those notes to your Bible app, and you can use them in the future. And we're going to see these four things a lot over the next few weeks and months, because we really, to really gather God's perspective, we can't just go by his word. Now, I know that sounds dangerous for a pastor to say, but there's obviously three other ways that God put into motion to get his perspective. There's no doubt in my mind. And one of them is specifically his voice. Prayer is the easy word we give there, but it's required. And I'm going to say this again. Prayer is not an opportunity. Prayer is a requirement for those that say they love him. Prayer is a requirement, just like it is to talk to a family or friend to continue in that relationship. Those conversations are required. This is the requirement of when you push the button at Sonic, that they're just not reading your mind of what you want. You have to speak into that little microphone to say, hey, bring me, you know, whatever. You know, and so it's required communication. And I'm going to say to you that by design, prayer has always been a conversation, not a speech. And so if you want God's perspective, we're going to jump back into that for a second. You must hear from God's word, but you must participate in a conversation where his voice speaks to your mind and heart. You're not just saying what you want, what you need, what you're afraid of, what you're struggling with, why you're mad, why you're disappointed, what you're hurting about. All those are fine in prayer. But that's one-sidedness. All relationships require reciprocal communication. And you, if you want his perspective, you can't tell him what his perspective is. You need to ask him. So we're going to stop for a second. These are the two easy ones. How are you doing so far? Just so far, just in a few days, 3 days so far in 2016, have you gotten his perspective from his word? And have you gotten any of his perspective from his voice? And if you haven't done the two easy ones, I'm really going to tell you to stop your goals and your dreams and your ideas. Stop them. Because without his perspective from his word, if it doesn't match up with his word, and if it's not his voice, whose voice is it? Does that make sense? These are the easy ones. So can you just do a 30-second encounter with God and just ask him, how am I doing so far, Lord, with your word and your voice? I challenge you to do that. Let's do it right now. Father, I'd just like for you to speak to us in the realms of how it's easy to understand that you have given us your word and the opportunities for your voice to speak into our hearts, into our minds, to give us your perspective. So please, Lord, help us to understand and evaluate already just in a few short days of this year to know if our perspective is the same as yours. One other, the third, I would say, requirement to gather his perspective is one that I know that I see back in my past and even my present. And it's based on a very easy scripture at the very beginning of time in Genesis chapter 2, where God spoke. So this is a true perspective of God. His voice said this: it's not good for man to be alone. So he instantly spoke into existence, and he's still speaking into our existence, that you trying to do this alone is not good. His terms, not mine. He said, not good to aloneness. He created you to be in relationship, and I'm even going to say the phrase, healthy relationships in this world. And I truly believe within the context of healthy relationships, God speaks, God gives us his word, and we gather his perspective through healthy relationships. You can't do this alone. I can't tell you how many times I've heard in the last year or more people saying, this is what God's told me. And I said, cool, how did that impact your family, your wife, your husband, your kids, your parents? How did God speak into that whole? I'm not saying God can't speak into an individual and say, do something very different than the rest of your family. I get that. But at the same time, to say that I'm the only one that God has said this to, and he hasn't said to anybody else, it really challenges, I think, the idea that God has put into motion since the beginning of creation that we're not supposed to do this alone. You're supposed to do this God's perspective thing in the context of healthy relationships. This is totally lived out in the New Testament as well, where Jesus says that if you love me, you love the Father. And if you also love me, you love everyone else. And if you say that you don't have the love of others in your heart, then and you say you love me, you are a liar. God's perspective. You can't do it. You can't say you love God and don't love others. You actually can't say you love God and you hate others. You really can't do that. And so as we gather that perspective, I want to make sure we understand, and we'll spend more time on this later on this month, that his perspective is never a solo act. We often see the fulfillment of God's perspective with the support, encouragement, and accountability of healthy relationships. I'm going to challenge you with one of these real quick. As committed as some of us are to our families, I want you to hear from Jesus where he said, who is my brother? Who is my mother? Who is my sister? And as he changed the concept of family from just by the blood that goes through our bodies, he enlarged the concept of family to the body of people that he puts in our lives. And we cannot sacrifice friendships and time with them. It is a lie if we say we do it that way, that we can do life without friendship. The last item, we're going to jump from that to the last one. Now, I will freely admit, number three is harder than number one. Number two is harder than number one because it's easy for just to say, I'm a person of the word. So we read the Bible and say we believe it. But how does that put us into the perspective of God is the question. But we can't do just God's word without his voice. His voice spoke into existence with his word. And he speaks into the lives and the minds and the hearts of people. We can't get God's perspective without his voice. He put us on this planet to do life with one another, to experience life, to not be alone, to engage in family and friendship. And Jesus enlarged that perspective about even what family should be. And so if we really want to gather God's perspective, we have to do it in the context of healthy relationships. It's not a solo act. And then last is the hardest of the four. There is no doubt. The one that I'm about to share with you and some scriptures that go with it is the mysterious, I'm going to call it the fourth element, that is not quite as concrete as his word, not as comforting as his voice, not as connective as healthy relationships. The fourth element shakes up the formula. It makes it complex, just to be honest with you. The fourth element is hard to grasp because it's hard to define. Most modern day Christians discuss this element as an achievement, as an accomplishment, with very little experience or understanding of its necessity to have a clear understanding of God's perspective. Let me prove it to you today by how hard it is to explain to someone else. So each of you need to volunteer to help me out with a short test. I'm going to put up on the screen the fourth element, and I want you to describe it to another person here today in a sentence. One sentence. And just then at the end of that sentence, that description, and I want it to be your own words. Quoting a Bible verse is great, but it needs interpretation. So this is your own words. And make it personal if you can. And I'm going to give you 30 seconds, but just say a sentence, and then at the end of the sentence, say if that's good enough to describe the word. You ready? Here it is. 30 seconds, go. One sentence for faith. You got 20 seconds. No pressure. You're down to 10. Five, four, three, two, one. So, do you understand faith, and does the person next to you based on your sentence? Now, I would tell you that faith is a very hard thing to describe, to define, to comprehend personally. Faith is an elusive element. I get it. If you're a baseball fan, I like to call it God's knuckleball or knuckle curve. The knuckle curve is like the if you can't hit it, just quit, right? It's that pitch that's so hard. By the way, faith is also, if you look it up just in quotes or in on Google or whatever, there's a million quotes and quite a few explanations out there, but we humans are completely grasping to really comprehend its personal impact and how to hit it, especially how to hit it out of the park. And if we're going to add this to the list of necessity for God's perspective, let me challenge us to a couple of quick questions. What have you done literally just based on faith in the last year? Just based on faith. No offense to God's word, no offense to his voice. Maybe his word and his voice led you to that. But you took a step of faith, a leap of faith, a direction of faith, and you put all of your being into God's hands, into God's will, into God's direction. Of course, the focus scripture today that we need to chat about, and this is a new thing for me, I'm going to make sure that you understand every Sunday a focus verse. And this is your focus verse for this week, if you want to put this one down somewhere to study and to focus on this week. Is Hebrews 11:6, without faith. So the first three words here assume something. That void of faith, when faith isn't in the mix, it is impossible to please God. Okay, let's go back to our other three. God's word, God's voice, healthy relationships. You say, if I can pull those three off, if I can follow God's word, if I can hear his voice, if I can have healthy relationships, man, I mean, if I'm going to compare myself to others, I'm doing better than the other 99% of this world, maybe 99.9. But is it really about comparing to others? Or is it about this idea of pleasing God? That's an interesting perspective. Think about that for a second. If the perspective you're trying to fulfill is to please God, not please self, not please others, not please the perspective of the world, if that's the goal, if that's the dream, if that's the idea, if that's the New Year's resolution is to please God, you can't do it without faith. I think the descriptive word here is what? Impossible. Because anyone who comes to him, you got to believe that he exists and that also that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So if we're in the process of believing in him and earnestly seeking him, we're in this journey of life seeking out for his pleasure. Now, I don't believe that you and I can really define or adequately describe faith by this one verse, but we can understand a few things. It's a requirement. Without it, it's impossible. A healthy relationship with God can never be attained without faith. The ultimate end product of faith is pleasing God. If you have faith, the journey is not just so you can say you have faith, not so you can buy a t-shirt or a bumper sticker or quote something on Facebook. The end goal of faith is to please God, not anything else. Faith does require us to come to God. We all know that he's done to come to us. But faith is ultimately us responding to him, to his word, to his voice. It's believing in who he says he is, and it's us seeking him in a profoundly personal way. Faith is opposite of our normal way of thinking and decision making. I want to say this again. Faith is often, if not always, opposite of normal way of thinking. Hebrews 11 says it this way, verse 1. On backwards for a second. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I mean, look at the descriptiveness of this sentence, of God's word. The idea of faith, which means to please God, is required to please God, is being sure of a thing that we hope for. That means we haven't attained it. We haven't gotten there yet. We're not there yet. But we are sure of what we hope for. And even bigger than that, and harder for that than us human beings, is being certain of something that we cannot see. We can't touch it, can't see it, we can't prove it to others, but we're certain of it. Again, I don't think one verse really can define or describe faith, but we've all been trained to trust in what we see as well as what we've experienced in real world time and space. And our plans and even goals or resolutions, whatever you might want to call them, typically are attached to more concrete things than hope, right? Most of your goals right now or resolutions are attached to concrete things. It's attain something, accomplish something, get something, lose something. they're concrete things. And how we make decisions are completely connected to the accomplishments, not some God-pleasing thing called faith. We must be careful before we move forward with goals and plans that we think are okay. What if they're not okay? What if they're not his perspective at all? By the way, if the result of faith is pleasing God, shouldn't we also relate our efforts on this planet with the same great descriptive words, being sure? What are you sure of? I want to ask you again. What are you sure of? Not guessing, not question marks. What are you sure? What are you confident? Listen to the words. By the way, have you asked him a question lately? Hey, God, are you pleased with me? It says without faith it's impossible to please him. So this is really a question about your faith. God, are you pleased with me? I would say to you, yes, he is looking for his word in you. I think he is watching how you respond to his voice. There is no doubt he takes a lot of pleasure, and we talked about this in November and December, in how we interact with the community and the world abroad. how we serve others, love others, and prove the love of Christ to others. There's no doubt that that's true. But I would say to you, you can do all of those things. You can know his word. You can, in essence, have a prayer time. You can participate in relationships and not please God. It seems like this fourth element is as required as God's word is. Maybe more. You can't please God by just knowing his word. You can't please God by just having a prayer time. You can't please God by just participating in healthy relationships. Faith is required. And let me say, is if you plug faith in, it will revolutionize how you take on God's word. It will shift how you hear his voice. And it will absolutely, totally, and I'm going to say in extreme ways, impact your relationships if you live by faith, not by sight. How you doing on faith? This is a personal question with a personal answer. We're going to begin a conversation about a phrase that I'm going to call it. It's very individual. It's about me. It's my, but it doesn't come from me. It's my God's perspective, and the end result of doing would be called a mission. And so I want us to gather from these four sources, these four resources of engaging in God's perspective. And I'm curious if you can fill in the blanks to this. I am confident, that's that phrase that we just got. I am confident that my God mission is fill in the blank, and I am fulfilling it by filling in the blank. This is going to be a conversation for us over the next few weeks and to some degree months. But I want us to zoom way out and ask for God's perspective. Use his word, use his voice, engage in relationship. This is not just a private deal. Do that within the context of relationship. Jesus did. He didn't just come and do what he did by himself. He engaged in relationship. So as we zoom out and we encounter this idea, this requirement of faith, as we zoom way out, I'm saying to you, it's not just so we can stay out here and hang out in Starbucks world and philosophize all day. This is so we are understanding that we are being put on a mission from God. Yes, I know where that phrase comes from. If you don't, you need to look into movie folklore about we're on a mission from God. You'll find a funny answer. Okay, I'll let you seek that out on your own. But I want you, and I want me, and I think God wants each of us individually to be confident that we individually are on God's mission to do what and fulfill it in certain ways. This is the same journey that Paul came to when he considered the challenge of thinking of his own personal preferences to God's perspectives. I want to say that again. When Paul, the writer of over half the New Testament, says, I've changed my way of thinking. I used to think this way and think this is what life was all about. But God changed me. His perspective changed me. And this is the conclusion out of 2 Corinthians 5 where he says, therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are home in this body, we are away from the Lord. Now, this is a kind of a duh statement by Paul. So now it's an interesting conversation. This is like when you hang out with some friends, like when you're a teenager, this is youth camp talk. Okay. When you're a young adult, this is college dorm talk. Okay. Or Starbucks hangout talk. You know, when you're an older adult, it's when all your kids go to bed and you're hanging out with your spouse or a few friends and you're talking about God's perspective. Later on, you know, I know a lot of people that are kind of in retirement age and all the kids are out of the house and they're like, wow, man, I can hear God better than ever, you know, whatever. So this is any stages of life is that this confidence comes that in this conversation of what would be better to fully please God now or just be in heaven? Which one would be better? And it sounds like a silly talk, but I think it's a legitimate one. So which one would you pick? Man, if I could right now, I'd just be in heaven with him. And some of us would go, no, we got stuff to do. Man, I want to, you know, and you can fill in the blank, I want to. Man, I want to get married someday. I want to have kids someday. I want to fulfill this dream of mine someday. I want to see certain things someday. So there's this kind of banter. What's better, in heaven with Jesus or doing what we're here supposed to be doing here? Now, it's kind of a silly. Why not both, right? Well, let's read on. He says, though, real quick, we live by faith, not by sight. That's an assumption. That talk is only as good as if we're living by faith. We are confident. Key word, again. I say and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So this is an easy kind of end result. Hey, yeah, it will be better eternally to be with God, with Jesus, hanging out with him. It's going to be physically, spiritually, relationally better. But we're living by faith and not by sight. So we make it our goal now, since we can't pick that. We don't get to choose that. We make it our goal to please him. Now, that's an assumption. And he said we, so you have to decide if you're a part of we. Are you a part of we? We make it our goal to please him, whether we're at home in the body or away from it. For we must all, this is also the understanding of God's word and his voice, in a moment of time that we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of us individually can receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So there is a moment in time where we take all of this life experience and say, did I live by God's perspective? Did I live by faith? Did I allow faith to shift and change my relationships, how I listened to God's voice and how I assumed God's word in my life? A life of faith focuses on pleasing him. We have his word. We have his voice. We've been given opportunities to have relationships, but not just worldly ones, eternal ones. And now we must make it our goal. You must make it your goal. I must make it my goal to please him. This must become the mission of our lives. And ultimately, we can say, my God mission is to please him. And I'm going to add to it over the next few weeks with details. Because there's details now, right? We don't just walk into the rest of today and tomorrow going, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm just supposed to please God. I guess I just sit here. No. What does it mean to please him? And what does it mean to make it our goal? Father, as we encounter you, just like we did in 2015, just like we did 10 years ago or 20 years ago for some of us, Father, as I encounter 30 years of following Jesus this next year and recognize that that birthday is probably more important than my actual physical birthday, I understand the goal, the dream, the journey of following Jesus is ultimately to please you as the Father. As Jesus said in John 17, that I've done everything you have appointed me to do. And so, Lord, as we make that our same goal, to take your word and your voice and mix them in the big bowl, mixing bowl of your will and your ideas and your plans for our lives, with healthy relationships in the bowl with them, and no doubt, Lord, the idea that there's going to be moments that we must live by faith and not by sight to really please you. That's a lot of assumptions on a group of people. Well, no matter how big or small we are, Lord, we need your perspective. Lord, give us your perspective today. May your word sink in deep. May your voice speak so loud. May the presence of family and friends don't just give us goosebumps, but the idea that we are being put in this planet to do life with one another. And so, Father, as you speak through those three vehicles, may the faith that we have in you give us confidence to how to please you. And may my God mission and our God mission be very clear about how to take on not just this year, but this day. This is the day that you have given us. We will rejoice. We'll be glad in it, and we'll respond to you in faith. In Jesus' name, amen.